This is the continuation of it. He says, day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. That this revelation is ongoing. That the sun comes up in the day and it praises God. And it goes on praising God all day until the stars arise at night. Day unto day, watch this now, utters speech. That when you look up in the sky, what is speech? Speech is something that's talking to you. If somebody's speaking, they're talking to you. Day unto day uttereth speech. That God is speaking to you.
Greetings, radio friends. Thank you for tuning in today to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Our Bible bus, has been taking us through the Psalms. Today, the bus stops at Psalm 19 as we look at the conclusion of a revelation that requires an examination.
That you might have. I will help you solve any problems that your children might have. I will give you the satisfaction of knowing that no question your children ask will go unanswered. For that matter, I will answer any of your own questions on subjects that range from how we got here to where we are headed. I will help settle bets and differences of opinions. I will give you information that will help you with your job, your family, and your interests. In short, I will give you the knowledge that will ensure you continued success in your life and in your family. I am the Bible. Do I get the job? I am the Bible. Do I get the job? Wow. Are you going to give the Bible the job? To be able to do everything that you need and help you to be everything that you need to be. Oh, the proclamation of the revelation. And then he talks about the exhortation of this revelation. The revelation of God in creation, the revelation of God in his word. Look what he says in verse 10. He said, moreover, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Look in your notes, the exhortation of the revelation. The psalmist exhorts the reader to desire the word of God like gold. Look at this. The most valuable commodity in the Near East was what? Gold. And like honey, the sweetest substance in the Near East. So the psalmist takes the most valuable and the most sweetest. And he says that we should desire the word of God like that. Desire it like gold. It's sweeter to the taste than honey and the honeycomb. Have you tasted the word of God? Did you taste the word of God this morning? You know, for some reason, the Lord woke me up this morning. And I've been in preparation for Wednesdays. I've been reading through the book of Revelation. And this morning I was reading about the church of Smyrna and how that it's a persecuted church. And it talked about how that Satan would persecute them for 10 days and deliver them over. But I like what it said. It said, be thou faithful even unto death. And I wrote in my journal this morning, Lord, in the midst of persecution, help me be faithful. Lord, in the midst of when everybody's talking down the Bible and talking down Jesus Christ, Lord, let me be faithful. in the midst of a society that is increasingly becoming anti-Christian, where Christian rights are being squashed and being subdued. Lord, let me be faithful. I tasted this morning. I tasted the word this morning. Oh, it was good. It was good. Did you taste this morning? How about this week? Did you taste the word of God this week? Did you get into the word? Did you taste it? See, that thing this morning was real to me. And I realized that. And I even wrote in my journal and I talked about that this is a message for God's people. Because I think we're just beginning to see the start of persecution. And it's going to be easy for a lot of people to jump ship. He told the church in Smyrna, be faithful even unto death. That if you're faithful, that you will overcome. That you will overcome. I tasted that, saints. I tasted that. The psalmist said, see, he said that the word of God, let me put my glasses on here, that the word of God is sweeter than honey. In the honeycomb. Oh my goodness. Guy was walking along one day, and somebody told him, there was a voice that told him, pick up some pebbles. And when you pick these pebbles up, you'll be both glad and sad tomorrow. So he picked up a handful of pebbles, put them in his pocket, woke up the next morning. And they were all turned to diamonds. And he was glad because they were turned to diamonds. But he was sad because he wished he would have picked up more. Isn't the word of God like that? If we pick up the word of God, we'll be glad that we dived into the word of God. We'll be glad that we picked up the word of God. But saints, there's going to come a day. Oh, whew, there's going to come a day when you wish that you would have picked up more. That you wish that you would have picked up more. You often think if anyone ever got to the point, and I think this sometimes, you know, sometimes I have crazy thoughts, but if you ever got to the point where you couldn't see anymore, where you couldn't read the Word of God, have you put enough of it away in your spirit? Have you put enough of it away in your heart that even if you could not look and crack open another Bible and see another word in the Bible, would there be enough to sustain you? Would there be enough? Saints, he says the word of God is more valuable than gold, is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Let the word of God get into your spirit. And then he talks about the compensation of this revelation, the compensation of this revelation in verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. That the word of God serves as a warning to help you do the things that are right, to help you do things that will not cause you to end up in a bad situation. That the word of God is a warning. And many people go on and they don't heed the warning. They are involved in a life of licentiousness, a life of debauchery, and all they had to do was take a look in the Bible, and it says here that by this thy servant is warned. That you're warned. You know, broke my heart when I was watching all the stuff leading up to the Super Bowl, that one of the guys on the Denver Broncos had got caught in an area where they were soliciting prostitutes. And, I mean, man, it just so happened that channel ABC was there. And they got the guy on film. And the Denver Broncos sent him home. One of the great experiences of an NFL football player is the play in the Super Bowl. And this guy didn't even get a chance to play because he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. Moreover, by them are your servants warned. See, when we follow the word of God, it keeps us out of situations like that. Well, I wish somebody would hear me this morning. That whenever we read the word of God, it keeps us out of situations like that. I don't know how many times I've had to talk to people that had just got themselves in a mess. And the reason they got themselves in a mess is because they didn't walk according to the word of God. By the word of God is thy servant warned. But you know, notice the flip side of it. In keeping them, there's a great reward. You know, again, let me just say this. You know, I'm just going to be raw, right? That when people are having illicit sex, you open yourself to all type of diseases. I don't know how many diseases. There's a whole bunch of diseases that are out there that you can get by having illicit sex. But if you do what the Word of God says and abstain until you're married, in Hebrews 13, marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. That if you do what God says, I'm not going to say you'll be disease-free. You might contract it from water or something like that, but you won't contract it because of illicit sex. In keeping them, there's a great reward. What is the reward? The reward is that you don't have to worry about VD when you keep the word of God. That when you keep the word of God, again, let me give you another illustration. There was a doctor in Florida. She called for a Uber driver. And the Uber driver came, and this lady had the same name as the lady who really asked for the Uber. And the Uber driver got out and called the name, and she came, but she was the wrong person. And she got mad. She was drunk. Doctor, medical doctor, all that time getting the medical degree. She went up to the Uber driver and tried to kick him right in the groin area. Kicked him in his legs. He pushed her away, and she fell down. She went and got in his car and started taking all of his papers and throwing them out the window because she was drunk. End up, got suspended from her job. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them, there's a great reward. Oh, saints, somebody hear me now. The compensation of this revelation. And then let me close with the examination. That when you look at the revelation of God in creation, now let's go back. You look at the revelation of God in creation, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. Firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day, utter speech. Night unto night, knowledge. No language where it's not heard. The sun comes out like a bride, goes through the sky. Revelation of God in creation. The revelation of God in his word. We saw that. You've done a revelation. Now it requires an examination. Now you got to begin to look at yourself. You've got to begin to do an internal examination. And as the psalmist does this internal examination, let me get back to the song here. Okay, here we go. The first thing we see is the purification. And then we see the sanctification, and then we see the meditation. Look at verse 12, the purification. He says here, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, cleanse my spirit. Revelation of God in creation. Revelation of God in his word. Lord, cleanse me. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up on his throne. His train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Isaiah got a revelation. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of sinful lips, and I dwell amidst the people who are of sinful lips. Something should happen in your spirit. There should be a yearning. There should be a crying in your spirit that's crying out, "God, cleanse me. Lord, there's things that I know about." But notice what he said, "Lord, cleanse me even from the things that I don't know about. Cleanse me from the secret faults. Lord, when I've offended somebody, when I've said something that I shouldn't have said, Lord, when I acted in a way that was ungodly, Lord, cleanse me from the things that I don't even know about, because this revelation is too great for me. This revelation in creation, this revelation in your word is too great for me to stand before a holy God. Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me, God, so that I can stand before you." When was the last time you got on your face and you cried out for an old-fashioned cleansing? You just asked the Lord to cleanse you. Lord, you just went through your life, and, Lord, I've been wasteful. Lord, I've been slothful. Lord, I've been irresponsible. Lord, I've not taken good stewardship over what you've given me. And you just asked the Lord for forgiveness. Just cry out for cleansing. I tell you what. Maybe the reason that we don't do that is because we haven't had a good glimpse of God. We haven't really seen God in all of his glory. And so we just skip about our day. And we just go about doing things that we want to do. But if we get a glimpse of God, there should be a cry out for purification in our life. There was a hymn in the hymn book. And it says this: "If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to grow astray, if I have walked in my own sinful way, dear Lord, forgive. If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself should suffer strain, dear Lord, forgive." Here goes one. This gets me. This gets me right here. "If I have been perverse or hard or cold, if I have longed for shelter in the fold, when thou hast given some fort to hold, dear Lord, forgive. Forgive the sins I confess to thee. Forgive the secret sins I do not see. O thou Lord, Father, teacher, thou helper be. Dear Lord, forgive." The purification. The purification. Next, we look at the sanctification. In verse 13, he says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Sanctification. What does he say? "Lord, set me apart. Lord, set me apart. Let me walk your way. Lord, let me walk after you. Because in walking after you, Lord, if I'm sanctified, if I'm walking in the way of sanctification, then I'll be getting a victory over these little sins. And guess what? I'll be delivered from the great transgression." And there's a whole lot of people, saints, that are falling in the great transgression. What is the great transgression? You know, it's different for everybody. But it's that sin that overwhelms you. It's that spiraling sin that takes you down. That if you walk in the path of sanctification, that you'll be innocent of the great transgression. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been guilty of committing the great transgression? I don't know what that is. For you, I can think back to my life. And, there's been several times. Before I knew Christ, I'm going to be honest with you, that I committed the great transgression. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I committed the great transgression. You know, it was that sin that took me down. And you know why? Because it was the places I was hanging, the people I was hanging with, and the things that I was doing. But if I walk in the way of sanctification, if I walk in the way that God has called me, then I avoid all these little sins, and I'm on the path to reward, and I'm not on the path to the great transgression. Some of you are on the path to the great transgression. You know, we have people who are watching this program. This program comes on about 9 times a week on the Family Channel. And I get people calling me, say, I saw you, I watch you on TV. And maybe there's somebody that's watching by TV right now. And you are on the road to the great transgression. And God is saying right now, look, I've given you this revelation of myself in creation. I've given you this revelation of myself in the Word. Now you need to do an examination. And a part of your examination needs to be sanctification. And then verse 14. This examination should lead to meditation. Notice what he says here, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That you have to come before the Lord in meditation. Come before the Lord daily and ask the Lord that the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart are acceptable in his sight. Did you say something yesterday that was not acceptable? Did you do something yesterday that was not acceptable? You know, it's something when you have somebody that's there, whether it's on your job or maybe you're involved in some organization, and you have to do the right thing all the time. And if you do something wrong, there's somebody to say, look, you know, you did that wrong. You know, it puts you in another way of thinking when you are held accountable on your job for what you do. You just can't go do anything on your job and then turn it in and think that your employer is going to be happy. No, you're accountable. And so you make sure that you do things that are right. You don't do a flabby job. You don't do a half-hearted job. You try to do what you're getting paid to do. And you do it to the best of your ability. Why? Because you are being held accountable. Somebody is there examining your work. And so it is when God holds us accountable, when we meditate before him, and we say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. When we say that, that's accountability. That's accountability. That when I come before God on a daily basis, and I say, Lord, is there anything, as I think about creation and your word, is there any way that I've offended? Lord, please show me so that I can make it right. Let the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. A revelation that leads to an examination. Let us pray.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Bumping Heads with Other Saints from Psalm 23. If you would like a copy of today's message, a revelation that requires an examination, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Remember, when you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can mail it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Remember, it is through your faithful prayers and generous gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.